Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see you all. And as I always say, it's good to be in God's house. And I tell you, I was so encouraged. I was talking to Milton on the phone yesterday, and Milton said, "Boy, I've been listening to some good gospel music. I've been listening to some preaching." And I thought, boy, that just really blessed my heart to hear that. To hear that people are partaking of the goodness of the Lord. You know, when we praise God, when we worship Him, and when we receive from Him, it does. It will lift you up, and it'll put a big smile on your face. And the fellowship this morning, I just want to kind of just touch on this real quick. I've tried to go catch Harold Lee on Saturday sometimes, and Jeremy's gone and gotten him and taken him out somewhere, and he's been, so I just said this morning I'm going to go early. I know when to catch him now. I'll get him early. But as I walked in there, I watched him interact with the other residents, and he brings such a joy to people there. And I thought, thank you, Lord, that he is still able to be used. And as we sat and we went back to his room and we were sitting there fellowshipping and talking. And Pastor David Schlag is a resident out. And I know Brother David, he doesn't remember me all that much. But anyway, David Schlag is out there. So we kind of repeated a lot of the same conversations we've already had. But he came into the room, and the moment we started talking about Jesus, his mind just came right back to him. And it was so neat as we shared together in the Word. When I left there, my heart was lifted even higher. So you may have to reach down and pull me out of the rafters by my feet if I get a little too elevated this morning. But I'm happy. I hope you are too. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Today we're looking at a sermon called Right Place in the Right Time. And this is going to be a good one this morning. I just believe that. So Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And if you're able, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Father, oh, what a joy it is to read this passage from your Word, this event that occurred that day. And Father, today we realize, dear God, that there may be something today crippling our lives, Lord. And Jesus is the only one who can touch that. Jesus is the only one who can deliver us and bring us true healing. And Father, we pray that today, Lord, this message, as I preach it, God, you will speak to us from heaven through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor and all the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I could say I shouldn't have to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Now, if I tell you every week, it's a good reminder. Jesus has the power to change anybody's life. I don't care how mean or how nice. I don't care what you've been involved in life. Jesus can change your life. And the one verse that I would like for us to really have stand out today is when Peter looked at the beggar and said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." He said, let me get my place back here. He said to rise up and walk. Now, I tell you what, that verse right there, that shows me that Peter and John were filled with the power of Christ. They were on their way to worship, and there at the gates of the temple, the gates they called beautiful, here's lying this beggar man. The Bible says that he had been lame basically from his mother's womb. So every single day of this man's life, this guy has had to rely on somebody to basically take care of all of his physical needs. I mean, really, to bathe him, to feed him, and then every single day they carried him to the temple gates and they laid him there. And the Bible says that he laid there and he would ask alms. Now, alms is the beggar was asking for money or food or clothing. He was basically begging to get his needs met. Now, sadly, right here in Southern Illinois, if you go to a lot of the shopping places, whether it be Carbondale or Marion or even over Harrisburg or West Frankfort, you will see people sitting in different places with a sign that either says homeless, or in need of work or whatever the need is. I mean, probably all the years that I've lived right here in Southern Illinois, I have never seen more and more people that are sitting on these corners, and especially in the extreme heat. And as I go to Marion Kroger now and then, and I see more and more homeless people literally congregating in areas around the store. And it's truly heartbreaking when you think about it. You often wonder, well, what led to this person being here? Well, this beggar, he was born crippled, and I'm sure that probably some people would walk by and look at him and say, well, I wonder what this guy's family did, you know, for him to be cursed with this paralysis. You know how people are. They see something and then automatically we think, well, I wonder what they did to get in this condition. But we know that from what the Bible said, it's been lifelong. He was dependent and he would have to beg and ask people to give him because he wasn't able to go out and work. Now, you and I, we have able bodies. You and I are able to get up every single morning and we're able to make a choice. You and I are able to go to work. You and I are able to take care of our homes. Now, we may have aches and pains. Some of us may not move as fast as we once did. I can promise you that I don't move fast enough. Sometimes I think my wife would like to get a cattle prod after me to make me move a little faster. Or maybe it even helped motivate me some more. But we should always be thankful to the Lord that you and I, we are the hands and feet of God. We were put here with a purpose. So just like Peter and John that day, they're going into the temple to worship. And so they finally see this man who's been laying here begging because, number one, he's totally helpless. He's unable to help himself. And he was in need of divine intervention. So guess what? Here's the title of the message. He was in the right place at the right time. And God's timing is always perfect for something to happen. I want to ask you this. How many of you have ever been going about your day? It was just an ordinary day, and something great that you were not expecting happened to you. Anybody? Yeah, I see some hands and some heads. That's good. And I've got a lot of accounts of things that have happened, but I'm not going to stand up here and tell you about all of them because we wouldn't get out of here till maybe 3 o'clock or so. I don't want to keep you that long. Some folks might starve before too, so... But anyway, Peter and John come along and they see the crippled man, and the crippled man, you know, he's asking them for help, and he was probably expecting some money from them. And then Peter comes up with those words, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give to you." Now, that's what I want to hit on right here. Peter is not talking about something of the physical earth that he had to give to the beggar. The beggar had no idea what he was about to share with him. But what Peter had, what John had, was they had the power of Jesus Christ upon them to perform the miracle that was about to take place. We have to realize that God puts us in people's places or in their path for a reason. And we should always be willing to look at somebody, because you never know if they might be a beggar that's in need. Now, I'm not talking about poor or poverty. Now, in the spirit, yes. There are so many people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, and we pass by them many days, and a lot of times we don't really notice, because I wonder, are we prepared to go out into the ministry field like Peter and John were? I'm sure that Peter and John had prayed a lot, they worshiped the Lord a lot, and they obeyed Him, so they, but the thing of that, they were a willing vessel. Are you a willing vessel? Am I a willing vessel enough that I would give up times of my day to go and minister to somebody in need? And it always it doesn't have to be somebody that's not a Christian. It could be a Christian person who is going through a very difficult time. Now, yesterday, yeah, I wanted to go see Harold Lee yesterday, and I mean, for whatever reason, the Lord just kept saying, "No, not today, not today. Go in the morning." And boy, I'm glad I listened. Because see, when you walk into a place like that, and I'm just going to share this, when somebody has lived in their home and they've taken care of their self for years, and then they have to be placed in care of other people, it creates a shift in their life. It does. It creates fear. It takes away their self-dependence. And it also affects their mood and their heart and their joy. And I tell you what, when I walk in that place, my heart is broken by what I see. But when I go in there, I don't go in there as Jim Cooper. I go in there as a person, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to take a message to those that are in there hurting. I want to listen to them. I want to have compassion on them because they're in a place that they didn't ask to be in. And that's why I'm so thankful that Harold Lee is the kind of Christian man that he is. I have had many visits with him in there, and he is always smiling. He's always laughing. He's always cutting up with me. And he says, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you." And the first thing he starts telling everybody, "This is my pastor." And I can't tell you what that does to my heart. to know that somebody loves me that much, that they're glad to see me. Even when I'd go see him at home, I'd go visit him quite a bit at his home. And the same thing, if anybody else was there, this is my pastor. And he'd say, I go to Boscadale Baptist Church. But, you know, being in there and taking the word of the Lord and love to these people, I mean, you can see them light up. Everybody at the breakfast table this morning, as we were standing there talking, they were smiling. We were laughing. We were having divine, genuine fellowship. And I know that when I left, my heart was in a totally different place than when I first went in there. I thank the Lord that He's put me in a place that I have the ability to go to these areas and touch lives. But it's not me that's doing it. It is Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, that is working through me. And just the same as John and Peter were standing right there, they were saying, silver and gold have I none, what I have I give to you, because they were standing there and they were full of anointing, they were full of the Lord's power, and they were about to give that man something greater than he had ever received in his life. Now, it's nice to have all of our material needs met, but I'll tell you this, there ain't nothing greater than receiving a touch from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon our hearts and lives when we desperately need it. Wow. This man, his need wasn't financial. He needed physical healing and ultimately spiritual transformation. So when Peter said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, and Peter extended his hand out and helped him. Helped him up. He immediately stood up. And immediately the strength and the power filled his feet, his ankles, and his legs. And the Bible says that the man started to leap. He was praising the Lord. I want to ask you something. How many hands have you held this last week? How many hands have you held? How many hands have I held? Have I done what the Lord's called me to do? Have I touched the hand of a spiritual beggar? Maybe somebody who's so far down that I didn't realize it until the moment I was there. And you know what? God can help us to see people in these type of needs. And that's where we need, as Christians, to say, God, I need my eyes open. And I'm not talking about your physical eyes. I'm talking about the eyes of your heart. Because when you're looking at people through the eyes of God, because remember, the Lord is in your heart and life, when you look at people through there, you can see a definite need. And I'll tell you what, I love when I walk into a hospital or make a phone call, whatever it may be, I love to see the smiles. And I would have loved to have been standing. Could you imagine the bystanders? As Peter spoke this, they knew that this man was a lame beggar, and they watched him stand up, and they're watching him leap for joy. Are we actually touching people's lives and making a difference in such a way that it's causing them to say, I have been touched, I have been changed, I have a reason to praise God, I have a reason to jump for joy. Now, like I said, I ain't trying to make nobody a pew jumper, but we need to be happy folks. When you go to church, you ought to be walking through that door happy. I have aches and pains. I got up the back stairs this morning, and I tell you, I had to hold on that handrail. I had to go a little slow, and it hurt some, and my legs hurting a little today. But hey, I'm thankful I come here. But I come in that door with a smile on my face because of what the Lord has done for me. Because at one time, I was a beggar. I was lame in my sin. I didn't know what to do. And I cried out for help for a long time. And Jesus, when He came along the way, and when He touched my heart and life, He made a big difference in it. And now I want to tell somebody else what He has done for me. I mean, it went so far that this beggar went into the temple with Him. Now, okay, rewind a little bit. This beggar, now you imagine when he'd been laying at the beautiful gate of the temple, could you imagine how many days went by that he wished he could go in there with those people and worship God in the same way? Sometimes we get in church and we get asked to stand for a song and we kind of go, oh, I got to stand again. I tell you what, you and talk about doing a lot of up and down in church. I never done a lot of more ups and downs until I went to a funeral over here at the Catholic Church for somebody. And I kid you not, it was like exercise class. We started in the pew, we was up, then we was down. Then we was up, we was sitting down. Then we was up, then we was back down. But I'm not making fun of that, so please don't take that in a wrong way. But what I'm saying, hey, you and I can come into the church house, we're able to get in here, and when we get in here, we ought to be happy that we're not laying outside the door of Boscadale Baptist Church wishing we could go inside and be a part of it. You're here now. Thank God for it. Praise Him for it. I mean, this beggar wanted to go in, and he probably laid there day in and day out wishing that he could walk. And then the moment finally came to his life where his heart was touched. He was healed spiritually. I believe that that man was healed spiritually first, and then I believe he was healed physically last. And I could probably bet you anything that that man, every time after that they went into the temple to worship, I guarantee you he was in that temple and he was still worshiping God. See, when the Lord touches your life, it gives you a reason to be happy. It gives you a reason to rejoice. It gives you a reason to praise. It gives you a reason to be excited. Be thankful that you don't have to stand outside the doors wishing you could go in there. I mean, we ought to be at a place as Christian people that we're going after anybody and everyone that we can and inviting them to come to church. We ought to be telling them, hey, you know, I don't like to say this because I'm not. I'll say it this way. We ought to tell people, come to our church and see what the Lord is doing because He's the one who's moving here. I don't ever like to tell people, well, come to my church because my pastor's great. I wouldn't know. No. I'm a child of God and that's a special thing, but He is great. He gets the honor and the glory and all of the praise. So after his life is changed completely and the people are noticing it, it has an impact on them. They're realizing this is the beggar. Now, we don't know how old he was or how long he'd been laying out there, how many years. But the people recognized him. Now, I tell you what, I think it would be great. Wouldn't it just be wonderful if you could go into a place where people were in wheelchairs and you could pray for them and they would be healed? And wouldn't it be great to see these people get up out of their wheelchairs and start walking? I tell you this, it has happened because God is still in the healing business. But you know what it takes? Believing. If we don't believe it and we don't have the faith, it ain't going to happen. Because faith is the key that unlocks the door, and I say that a lot. But that's what we have to have. We've got to have faith in the Lord. We've got to trust in the Lord. And what we say, we have to say it with conviction. We have to say it with meaning. That's what Peter and John were doing. They weren't just going, well, we think God could heal you. We think the Lord, yeah. That's not what they were doing. When they showed up, they were bold. How many of you are tired of being held back? It's time that we get bold. It's time that we say, Lord, here I am. Send me. If nobody else will go, I will do it. Now, I've had people say in the church, Brother Jim, please don't ask me to do anything because, well, I'm well up in my years and I've served the Lord in the past when I was... There ain't nothing stopping you now. Maybe we're not able to do certain things we once did, but you know what? That's where it takes us opening up our hearts and saying, well, God, what other area could I serve in? What else could I do? Because I would be willing to do it. I tell you what. There, I went to a church. I was the associate pastor years and years ago over by Harrisburg. And there's this sweet little old man. And he was in his mid-90s. Every Sunday morning, it didn't matter if it was a thunderstorm or a blizzard or a hurricane or tornado, whatever it was, little Mr. Abney would stand out there and he would greet every single person coming through the doors of that church with a big smile and a hug. If he knew you real good, he'd give you a kiss on the cheek. Now, there, I tell you what, there wasn't no better way sometimes getting to church than and when Mr. Abney died. I wonder what it was like as people walked up at Bankston Fork Baptist Church. And as they're walking up there, Mr. Abney's not there anymore. I wonder who would have been the one to say, well, Lord, he's not here, but there's something I could do. Because you know what Mr. Abney did? He reached people for the Lord. He gave of himself. Peter and John gave of themselves to one man that day who had a need. And there's people out there today who have needs. What are we doing to go to them with the love of the Lord? Are we seeking them out? Or are we caught up with too many of the affairs in our life? I've always said this. If we have too many irons in the fire, you know what we need to do? We need to start taking some irons out of the fire. Really, we sure do. But anyway, let me get this last part here. What a powerful testimony this is. The people saw him walking. They recognized him. They were filled with wonder and amazement. Here's what a changed life does. It points others to Christ. A changed heart and life will point others to Jesus Christ every time. And when people get saved, when people get saved and somebody sees the change, it does fill the heart with such amazement, with such joy, with such happiness and rejoicing. It causes a lot of things to happen. So I want you to know this morning, are you going to be at the right place at the right time for somebody else? Are you willing to do that? How many of you this morning are willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to be in the right place at the right time. I'm willing, Lord, to take somebody by the hand. I'm ready to share the love and what you can do in their life. I'm ready to see them be healed. I'm ready to see them be delivered. Are you willing to do that? Because the calling is upon each and every one of our lives. It ain't just the pastor. Everybody looks at the pastor and says, well, that's his job. Well, it's my job to go. Yeah, I go visit. I make phone calls and I study the sermons and read my word, read God's word. And I do what the Lord puts on me to do. Sometimes I argue or try to deal with him. I try to barter a little bit with God, and that never works in my favor, which is good. But see, there's so many people today that have a hopeless condition. To them, it's hopeless. But Jesus can meet that condition, and He can take that hopelessness, and He can turn it into joy. He can turn it into a changed life and a changed heart. So, your transformed life may be the testimony that God uses to draw others to Himself. So see, you and I are the hands and feet of the Lord. Are you willing to make that sacrifice? A lot of people say, well, I've got my life, I got saved, and this is just, I want people to leave me alone. Well, I don't know how anybody could be saved and then would want to stand in the shadows and watch life just go by them. Watch all of God's blessings that could have been theirs go right by them. You know, I want every blessing I can get from the Lord. I'm not a rich man. I'll always say that on this earth. I'm rich in heaven. All my riches are up there. There ain't nothing here that I want. So what I got here, well, when I die, somebody else can have it. Somebody can have it now. I'd give it to you. But when I get to heaven, oh, I'm going to receive the greatest reward and the greatest treasure that money could never buy. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I want to give it to you. Let that be our charge today.